It's time to get brutally honest.
Your most annoying thing, I'll tell you, is the pencil flip and then on the floor.
It's not even close, and I know it's annoying, dude.
I think it's hilarious. It's like,
this is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
What a weekend here in Toronto. What a time to be alive and to be a Toronto sports fan. Toronto teams go 5-0 over the weekend. TFC winning its first ever MLS Cup. The Leafs beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh and then come home and shut out the Oilers at home. And the Raptors went 2-0 over the weekend as well. At Memphis on Friday, beating up on Sacramento yesterday. They're back in action tonight in LA, taking on the Clippers. So we had a Jerry's percentage last week. Just asking, what are the chances? We didn't even throw the Raps into it because they weren't playing great teams. There was a good chance they were going to win those games. But Leafs going 2-0 and TFC winning. And we were all kind of like, not sure that's going to happen.
I think I said zero.
I think I was very low.
I think we all expected TFC to likely win. I thought TFC would win, and I said, not that it matters, you know, I would gamble on going for 3 or 4 points against these two teams the Leafs are playing.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't convinced they were actually going to get a split. But after they won in Pittsburgh, I felt good about them winning last night.
Yeah.
Hey, the Leafs are 20-10-1.
Can't take that away from them.
The Argos are winning great cups, TFC, MLS cups. Putting together the greatest season in MLS history. The Raps, again, are going to do what they've been doing for years, probably get to 50-plus wins, and the Leafs are legit.
Well, the Raps have, I don't know if it's because of everything else that's going on, they're just quietly going about their business. I mean, you pay attention to them, and they're winning.
Well, let's be honest, the team in Toronto that took the biggest, the only kick in the junk this weekend is the Blue Jays, because Stanton is now in the
right, and it's
American League East.
Them, so.
They're just slowly becoming, or kind of just becoming nothing.
Well, they've got lots of time still. Like, you can't judge them on a body of work where...
I get it, but if you listen to any American talk shows or guys from ESPN Baseball, they were like, we're picking the Jays this year because they mash, they do this, they do that. That talk is gone away.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, it's over.
No one's going to be picking them.
No, there's no talk about them anymore.
No.
And I used to love hearing that talk. It's like, these guys are actually acknowledging the Jays.
Right.
They're not anymore. Like, not even close.
76 wins will do that anyway. The Yankees putting their stake back in the ground last year as a team in the American League East that is legit.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox being better than the Jays anyway, and they've got an offseason to continue to improve, and I think they will counter what the Yankees did. They won't be able to get Stanton, but
where's Stanton going to play, by the way?
I don't think they've figured that out. Yeah, probably he and Judge might platoon between right field and DH. I mean, it's a pretty good spot to be in for Aaron Boone, a guy who's never managed a major league team. This guy is going to walk right into a situation where the Yankees won a bunch of games last year, almost went to a World Series, and now they add the National League MVP. And, yeah, Starlin Castro, their second baseman, is gone. But they've got one of the top prospects in baseball coming who's likely going to be on the team this year, and he just happens to be a second baseman. So Castro probably wasn't even going to play for them this year anyway. And they're like, go ahead, take him. We've got this Torres kid coming who's supposed to be money at second base. So, as I said earlier, in an indirect way, I think Atkins and Shapiro may benefit greatly from the Stanton trade, because if they want to blow it up, right, you want to trade Josh Donaldson and try to unload some money and bring in some kids and load up the farm system, the Yankees just did you a huge favor, because I think more and more fans today would be receptive to that than they were 48 hours ago. I think there's a lot of Jays fans who would be feeling very defeated today, because the Yankees were better than the Jays anyway, and they just improved that much more.
Right.
Because Stanton is an absolute beast. Like, Stanton into Judge into Sanchez.
It's impressive.
Murderer's Row.
Well, Jays kind of had something similar a few years ago. It was Donaldson into Bautista into Encarnacion. It was into Tulo.
And they won.
But they,
yeah,
and
they won. Did.
But you mentioned the Yankees have good depth, too, at pitching.
So. They do. They've got a great bullpen. They've got a good top of the rotation. To say nothing of Gregorius and Bird and Frazier, this kid Torres who's coming up. Like, the Yankees look like they're the real deal, Holyfield. So, shout out to Yankee fans. I guess you deserve it. You've only had how many World Series?
Guess what, though? They got to play the games.
They do.
You sometimes see how these super teams get put together. And
look at what happened last night. The Oilers were the prohibitive favorite to win the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a great night on Saturday, ran Carey Price out of the net, beat up on the Habs. I thought they were the better team last night, but they didn't get the win. The Leafs,
McElhinney was great, yeah.
McElhinney played outstanding. You know, the Leafs had a great year last year where everything went their way, and there was some trepidation on what that was going to mean for them this year. 31 games in, they're 20-10-1.
Mm-hmm.
They're fourth overall in the NHL.
Yeah, and they're hopefully,
you got to play the games.
Knock on wood, that there isn't too much more adversity. Like I say, I'm sure there's some people worried about Matthews, period, not just his short term, because we don't know any information, and the fact that he was kind of laboring, and when he came back, he seemed a little bit off. I think everyone would agree, like, he's still a dangerous player, but leading into that injury, every shift he seemed to be making something happen. Quite dominant.
Oh, absolutely. His and first then, 15 games, he was unbelievable.
Outstanding, and then he gets injured and comes back, whether it's timing or if it's still the injury lingering, but without, I mean, the sports science team and the doctor's not going to let him back unless he's 100%. That's your golden goose. So if they were overprotective last night, I'm fine with that.
They still won the game. They're 5-0 without Matthews in the lineup. Now, that's playing with fire. At some point, clearly, that's going to change.
Well,
and at some point, you're really going to miss him. And he was missed last night. I mean, I felt like we got cheated a little bit because we didn't get to see Matthews.
Both Oiler games, we kind of feel we got cheated a little bit. Or, sorry, both Oiler Leaf games, you got cheated on a couple things. Like that first one that was 4-4, I wanted to see overtime. I think we all wanted to kind of just, I mean, you're happy for the win for the Leafs, but you would have liked to see a 3-on-3 with
absolutely
those guys.
I don't think anybody was really thinking or hoping for a 1-0 battle last night.
But it was back-to-back. And there were chances. It wasn't like it was the shots were 16-14. Like, there was chances.
That was a great
sides.
Game last night. Like, that was, they played over 59 minutes without scoring, and it didn't feel that way. Like, that's a game where if you looked at it without watching, and you said, wait a minute.
Right.
Who scored? Zach Hyman, like, 34 seconds into the game,
mm-hmm.
and it ended up 1-0, you'd be like, thank God I missed it. But if you watched it, it was thoroughly entertaining. Like, it was a suspenseful game.
Yeah,
because sides had opportunities.
And there was a big push near the end. Like, Edmonton really pushed. McElhinney made some great saves. Edmonton had four posts. Like, there was a lot of things happening. And Brassois made some good saves as well. Like, you can't forget. Like, the guy allows a goal 30 seconds into the game, and that ends up being the game winner. So, yeah, they did give we all thought that Hyman tipped that goal. For the longest time, they had given it to Gardner, and then they switched it.
Well, another Terry Koshon tweet from earlier, that was just the 10th time in NHL history a team had scored in the opening minute and went on to win 1-0 in regulation.
Really?
Only
that's
the
a bizarre
time.
Set of circumstances. Like,
yeah, how bizarre. It was bizarre. Like, I was
thinking 5-4 as soon as that goes in. It's like blowout.
Because of what happened the week before, because of the goalies that were playing, because they were on back-to-back, because of the talent on both teams.
That looked like it was going to, it looked like it was going to be another 5-4, 6-5, whatever what was going to happen, and you could kind of feel. And then you saw McDavid skating, you knew that he wanted to have a good showing. His dad and, like, his old man and Matthew's old man were hanging out in the skybox.
Well, Gretzky was there, Bobby Orr was there last night.
Like, it was all hands on deck.
Do you think that will happen every time he's here? Like, that's happened twice now. He's played here twice, and Gretzky and Orr have been there for both.
You wish that.
Is that going to happen for the next 20 years, where every time he's in Toronto, they're both here?
But he doesn't play enough here.
That's my point. If he stays in the West, we're talking
one
game.
Yeah.
So I saw a weird transaction last night. I think I saw Lou give Bobby Orr a hug. I'm like, you're an agent now.
Well, you could still hug a legend.
It was just one of those things. I'm like,
right, Lou's not allowed to show public display of affection.
Does he ever?
Never.
I'll bet you he would have been rattled that that got on TV.
We can never ask Lou that question. If he comes on our show.
No.
Were you in?
It was like handshake, hey, Bobby Orr, bro hug, like the Roger Goodell bro hug. I was like, I've never seen that before.
Well, wasn't that the shot where both McDavid and Matthews' dad was up there with him? I think they were both up there with him. I wonder if Lou was...
I don't know if they were in there.
Giving the wink-wink to McDavid's dad.
Like, Lou wouldn't have McDavid's dad in his box. That is a guarantee.
You don't think Lou would welcome McDavid's dad?
No. He would welcome him, but not into his... Like, I think there's a management box. You can't. Yeah, like, there's a management box that...
They don't sit up in the press box management box. They've got their own, like, luxury suite.
But that's what I'm saying. But that suite is usually just Lou and Shanny, and I think Dubas is in there, Hunter's in there. Like, that's not... Okay. You're not going, okay, like...
You're telling me Bobby Orr knocks on the door. Robert Orr. And says,
I'm telling you is it was kind of weird to see the Goodell bro hug. It was like,
I agree with you, but I'm intrigued.
I've never
by your...
seen Lou even like acknowledge a human being. He'd be like, hey.
Yeah, I've never really seen that either. But I'm honestly surprised you guys would say.
I think
say,
Bobby could stay for a period. I don't think he's sitting there the whole game while they're.
I'm saying McDavid's dad. You're telling me Lou would put the Heisman up to McDavid's dad if he said if he was walking in behind Bobby Orr.
I don't think the Heisman comes out, but I also understand that they have to understand they're not staying for the game.
No, but just to come in and say hello in
you
between
could come
the intermission.
In and say hello, absolutely.
So that's allowed.
I believe it's allowed, but you also
of course
have to
it's
be
allowed.
Care.
But why wouldn't it? Why would that be so shocking if Lou was like, "Come on in and say hello"?
Okay, think of the speculation. Think of the world we live in with the speculation and the accusations of tampering and all. I know.
Would that be considered tampering, talking to a player's dad? Are you not allowed to talk to a player's dad?
I think you are, myself personally, but also there is a professional line that has
to be towed. I don't want any other GM talking to my guy's dad, period.
Oh, I'm not saying Shirelli would want to see that happen. Like, if you're in Edmonton, you would be going nuts if you're watching McDavid's dad up there with Shanahan and Lou.
But you have to understand.
And the team's a hot mess.
There's a history of you know, Bobby Orr, I believe Orr represent his group represents McDavid.
Yes, I believe he
okay,
does.
Okay, so that there is
that's my point.
A crossover.
Now Matthews, I believe, is with
I don't think he's with Orr.
No, he's with Brisson.
Pat Brisson. Pat Brisson. Okay, so
now, that would be an interesting conversation. So, Pat Brisson's watching and Bobby Orr's walking around with Austin Matthews' dad right before he signs the biggest contract of his life.
You get away.
You talk about mowing lawns.
Let's flip that then. They're in Edmonton. Matthew's dad is there.
I wouldn't have a problem
with it. And Brisson and him are walking around. Pat sticks his head into Shirelli's room and goes, hey, you know, hey, Peter.
I want you to meet Austin Matthews' dad and sit around and talk for a bit. Here's why I wouldn't have a problem with it. Okay. Austin Matthews is from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Right.
Connor McDavid is from Newmarket, Ontario. There's right. just, I can't picture a scenario where Matthews is like, I want out to go to Edmonton.
Yeah, you're right.
I can picture a scenario, even though I'm not saying it's ever going to happen, where McDavid is like, yeah, I wouldn't mind being a Leaf.
Did you see his face when those lottery balls came up?
I know, but that's years ago now. He signed an 8-year deal. Like, I think he likes Edmonton.
He was like Freddy the Goat when we first interviewed him. He was like, what?
Yeah. I understand. I know, but McDavid, I don't think he'll ever be a Maple Leaf. I can't picture that being the case.
No, he never will.
But I can picture him still in the back of his mind. Like Drew Doughty has said recently, if you grow up here and you grow up a Leaf fan watching the Leafs, yeah, you kind of dream of being a Leaf at some point.
But Doughty kind of kiboshed and said he basically doesn't want anything to do with them. Like, you know, my impression of what Doughty's comments were is like, yeah, I know what it's all about. And they... You know, like he
is that how you read it? That he'd never want to be a part of this place?
I read it that he was like, nope, no thanks, I'll stay in L.A. Like, well, that's what I kind of read it, that he didn't want the circus.
Well, Drew Doughty's sending out messages right now that are a little bit...
They are a little mixed messages.
He's like, I just want to go where they win cups. Every guy from Toronto wants to play in Toronto. And then he always backtracks 2 days later. I want to spend my whole career as a king. It's like, what are you doing? Either...
Well, how about this Erik Karlsson news where he wants to get paid, he's up after next year, and it sounds as if Pierre Dorion doing his due diligence because the Ottawa Senators are really in a tough spot. I mean, they lost 5-0 on Saturday.
Yeah,
they're brutal. They're flat-out brutal.
He's gone to Karlsson and said, give me your list. Give me the teams you're willing to be traded to.
Well, to your point, they got to do their due diligence. Like, if you're, and plus, there could be a directive from the owner. you know, the director from the owner. Like, you can't imagine Eugene Melnyk was that jazzed about Carlson's comments. And he retracted them, or he clarified.
He originally said, I'm paraphrasing, basically, I'm going to get every penny I believe I'm worth.
And but then he came back and said my comments were, I was stupid making those comments.
Yeah, he came out. That's why he
didn't
come out.
But it's like, no, you weren't. You meant them.
Oh, he means them.
It's like the people that have had too much to drink and they make comments, but that's what you actually mean.
Oh, it's...
So don't backtrack on it.
It's the Twitter hacked. You know, hacked. No, I don't think you were, because I think you were looking for as much money as you want.
If I've had something to drink, I've made comments that I actually don't mean.
You're right, but Carlson wasn't oiled when he spoke with the media.
I'm saying,
like, you know, the brother comment or the family, I love you, man. Like, I love you on New Year's Eve. You mean that. But this is the same kind of thing. These guys are meaning the comments.
Oh, they are. And so they should. This isn't a...
No, it's a business.
This is a business, and we're not that far away from a couple years from now where the business is going to get taken to task here again. And you hope that, like, I'm
praying... But Carlson's got what, this year and next year?
Yes, and Doughty.
This year and next year. So does Doughty, but you can start to negotiate with them this summer. So that's the point. It's the John Tavares situation, which is actually... I'm surprised people aren't talking more about Tavares.
You know why? Because the Leafs are
Matthews
good.
Matthews is here. Exactly.
Matthews is here, and the Leafs are a good team.
Yeah.
The whole landscape of the conversation surrounding the Maple Leafs has changed over the course of 18 months.
Yeah.
Because it's Matthews' team. So if Tavares came here, he'd be number two.
And the narrative is they don't need him.
And the narrative is they're 20-10-1 without Tavares, and these guys are going to get paid.
Yeah. And why would they go after Tavares when they need a defenseman or... whatever they're going to do. John Tavares is not like that one need where you're like, but you can also say the New York Yankees, they don't need Stanton.
No, they didn't. They already had like the most potent offense in the game. And they just said, yeah, we'll take him.
Yeah.
We'll have 59 bombs.
But that's the thing. They got him for, I'm quoting you, pennies on the dollar.
Yes. They paid nothing for the reigning MVP of the National League.
So the only way if Tavares ended up in a Leafs uniform is he was like, yeah, I'll take Kadri's money.
Hometown discount.
Yeah, like I'll take Bozak's money. I'll take Bozak's deal.
Well, it is a scenario where you could do a one-year deal, but that's not going to happen. Why would Tavares sign a one-year
deal? It's not happening. Like, let's not even head down that rabbit hole, because people will start writing us and saying...
It's not happening.
It's not happening.
And another thing that's not happening, Erik Karlsson is never getting traded to Toronto. Right. If Ottawa were to ever trade him, and I think there's a possibility it could happen. McKenzie was on the lunch today, and Bob said that's more of a summer thing. Right. But this summer, they're going to have a come-to-Jesus moment.
For sure.
Are you going to have the money for him? Does he want to stay? If not, you almost have to trade him this summer. They're not trading Erik Karlsson, the best player in team history, to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And it's never going to happen.
And I think where Bob's comments have gone along is Karlsson has to decide if he wants to stay there, too. Like, that's another situation. Does he want to sign an 8-year extension at max money to a team that will have to be broken down? Like, you'll have to break it down because, you know, Phaneuf is 32. Craig Anderson is 35. Like, you're in the 30s. Like, there's a bunch of, not a bunch, but there are some guys that are kissing up on 30. So they're in more of a, you got to do something now or in the next year or two.
And that's, I think, why they made that Duchesne deal.
And I think Ottawa is thinking, if we pay Karlsson the kind of money that it's probably going to be $12 million or whatever it is, how can we ice a competitive team? Like,
especially considering that owner has been reluctant to sell to the cap anyway.
They're budget conscious. So they are a budget team.
That's what I'm saying.
And they have some really good players, and he was their star, but... They're probably thinking, how can we, if we do this, we're going to be so... And Carlson's going to be saying, if I sign what I want in Ottawa, we can't be competitive anyway, so why would I do it?
But you know what they have to do before all of this nonsense even comes to first? You got to see what that team is. And there's not a guy on that team right now that's playing up to their potential. Like, not even... Like, Mark Stone was their best player this year as far as consistency, and now he's struggling. Zach Smith has a goal in 20 games. Bobby Ryan, like, you go right down the list. Not one of those guys is playing as good as they can or even close to it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was never a superstar like Erik Karlsson. I was a good player. I was maybe considered in my best years like a star. But he has to decide, if I want big money, do I want to be on a garbage team? that can't pay anybody else, or he can just say, you know what, I'll take a hometown discount, but it's not going to be with you guys. It's going to be with someone else that has a chance to win the next 5 years.
Well, that's another thing. Forget who they're going to spend the money on. If they don't have the players, they don't have the players.
Yeah.
Toronto had a parade today. TFC parading through the streets of downtown Toronto.
I got the jacket to prove.
You're wearing the jacket. Tim Bezbachenko, their GM, he's going to join us. Ray's coming up at 6. Ray had a bit of a scheduling problem. And
he had an incident with a UPS driver.
I'm so concerned every time he doesn't get on time that Ray's killed somebody in Vancouver. Because he's building the new house or he's moving in.
Well, he's moving in. And you know that probably there's issues with it, and he has got somebody in a chokehold right now.
He's so rattled. So Ray's coming up around 6. We'll catch up with Bezbachenko. TFC, they win the MLS Cup. The Leafs won both games over the weekend. The Raptors swept the weekend. They're back in action tonight. Carson Wentz blew out his knee. The Eagles are done. Roethlisberger goes off for 500-plus last night. The Niners are winning, which means the Giants now have the second pick. The Browns lost again. PGA finally figured their life out, and they're not going to let stiffs at home on their couch call in rules infractions.
Thank God.
Thankfully. Thank you for joining us in 2017. The Bills played one of the craziest circus games you've ever seen.
And what Stanton was that, a foot Yankee. And a half, 2 feet of snow?
It just kept coming and coming and coming. It was wild. It was a brutal tactical game. All they were doing was running and punting. But I couldn't stop watching because of the elements. It was a wild weekend. We'll keep recapping it, and the GM of the victorious Toronto FC, their GM Tim Bezbachenko, will join us next. Moylan Monday coming up in about 20 minutes. Tim Bezbachenko, the GM of TFC, will join us here in a moment. What a run this guy's been on. I mean, they've been a good team for a few years, but this was probably the greatest year in MLS history. You know, the statistics would tell you that. Just based on the amount of points.
They ran the table. Amount of points, best regular season, coach of the year, Giovinco MVP?
No, I don't know if they've determined the MVP of the season, but Altidore winning the MLS Cup MVP, as you would expect. I mean,
and the championship. Well, you ran the gamut.
Yeah. No, they were unbelievable. They had a great, great year. And soccer, it turns around quickly, man. They get a bit of an off season, but they play a lot, and there's going to be movement during the off season. But I think if you're a TFC fan, whether you've been a fan since day one or you've just recently jumped on the bandwagon, there's three guys that are like the superstars of the team, and it's Bradley, Altidore, and Giovinco. Vasquez, right, a really good international player. He scored the 2-0 goal on Saturday, and maybe you could throw his hat into the name. And Alex Bono obviously performed really well, their keeper, but that's what they really have going for them, is that they've got three names that everyone is familiar with. Everyone knows Bradley, Altidore, Giovinco, and all three of them perform. All three of them, they get paid. All three of them, by all accounts, really enjoy being here. Like today, they said all the right things.
Right.
Every team does that. You could be in the worst city in the world, and you'd be like, this is the greatest place on earth. You're the best
fans.
Well,
the words that are spoken are never said after losing in the finals or not making the playoffs. When you win the championship, the love comes where it's...
Because it's
I'm Toronto special. Forever.
It is. It's special.
And that's the way it should be.
I liked Altidore's Twitter response to Komarov. I don't know if you saw that or not, but...
I forgot to shake his hand, I think.
Well, no, he didn't forget. And I completely understand this. And it was... So when he walked out on the ice last night and got introduced, I think he was Snapchatting it or doing something, you know, social media. So he was quite excited, and he went up. Komarov took the face off, and I think Altidore was, like, texting it out or doing whatever. So Komarov went to shake his hand, and he was late on the play. So people, of course, social media, they fake outrage or whatever, saying, oh, he didn't
I can't
care.
Believe
can't
he believe disrespected
he
him like that.
So Altidore went to Twitter and apologized, like, actually sent it to Komarov and said, hey, sorry I was late shaking your hand. I just wanted to share the experience with my fans, which is completely legit.
And very like, 2017.
It is.
A very 2017 thing to do.
Exactly. So, I I could see it. It wasn't...
And very leafy for them to send Leo Komarov up to take the ceremonial puck drop.
Yeah, that was different.
Like, really? You couldn't have sent up Morgan Riley, who's also got an A on his jersey? Like, that was such a leafy Lou move. Send a third-line guy who kills penalties up. Like, it just... I don't know why that bothered me last night, but I was like, please send Morgan Riley up. Like, send him up. Like, Matthews isn't out there, so you can't send him up. But don't send Komarov up. Anyway, TFC, what a weekend. What a season. What a parade. A pretty good crowd down there, too. I mean, it's freezing today. Yeah. Coldest day of the year.
Awful.
It's been awful weather, and people showed up on a Monday morning / early afternoon. And here is the GM of TFC, Tim Bezpachenko. Congrats. What a run it's been for you. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling great, guys. Thanks for having me. I think everyone's feeling a little tired, but you got to keep on going because it doesn't happen very often. Like it's been fantastic. It really has, from the parade to the game to the parade to the after party. We just got back from down at the ACC. It's been amazing.
How long do you keep running it out? I mean, do you tell the fellas, like, keep it going for a week or so or a couple more days and then get the hell out of here and go back to your families and start working out? Or how do you play that out as the GM?
You know what I do? I don't tell them anything. I let them decide what to do. We do have exit. We do have our meeting starting tomorrow. So everyone's going to come in and the same mentality they had all year, which is just to get back to work. And I don't think they're going to be working out tomorrow per se, but they're all respect the meeting times, assuming they can find a ride.
I got to ask you, like, I was never a big believer in the exit meetings, especially if it was either really bad, because I'm thinking my bosses are going to say you were really bad, but when you win the championship, you're going to say, that's an awesome year. So what's the point of the exit meetings this year? Good, take me through the exit meetings.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think primarily our preseason starts in 39 days. It's pretty incredible. And this year, so January 20th, and then the players will probably come in a week before, because we do have the CONCACAF Champions League. So our first game, February 20th, is not too far away. So I think most of it is we get our director of sports science. We'll sit down. We'll go through sort of their off-season plan with them, what they need to work on, both on the technical soccer side and the physical side. And then we'll talk, we'll go through the year and some of it's statistically based, some of it's just, mental. It just depends on the player and what they want to talk about. So it's just you don't get very often you get to sit down and talk to a player about his year, his goals, did he achieve the goals at a personal level? And I think it's important to do it. Sometimes you can't do it with all the players if they're leaving, their family obligations, but we'd like to as much as we can.
Obviously you guys win, it's exciting, but we've talked to general managers around the city, coaches around the city, well, different sports, but did you have to have the talk with the guys, have fun, but be smart, watch your social media? I know it's the world and the landscape we live in. At some point, did you have to have that conversation, or the guys well-schooled going into it?
Yeah, we have a great group of guys, but you're right. Even there's just so much out there for them to, if they're not guided the right way. And we have a great media team, and social media sort of responsibility is key. So, I haven't had that conversation yet. There was a moment today when I looked at our sort of director of operations and said, hey, we got to make sure that this is kind of 3 days in now. If the guys are going to be going out, make sure that they have options for rides and that they're taken care of. And that's important for us. And hopefully we can guide them and they can make good decisions because they're a great group of guys. And you don't want anything to spoil the party, obviously.
With Tim Bezpachenko, GM of TFC, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Obviously, you guys had a great year. And when you started as well as you did, a lot of people outside of the diehards who have been following you guys so closely and always knew what you were capable of doing, a lot of the outside fandom, outside of media, kind of jumped on the bandwagon like, wow, where's this going? And you guys took it all the way to breaking records, most points in MLS history in terms of the regular season. You win the MLS Cup. You win it at home. You were brilliant on Saturday. You dominated that game. And we were talking about it throughout the afternoon and the weeks leading up to the game. I think a big benefit you guys have from a fan's perspective is you have a trifecta of superstars who appear to love playing here. And that's Bradley, Jovinko, and out the door. And that's not a slight on the other players who all performed well, but those are your three big dogs. And they've been here for a while. They've connected for a while. And they've all factored into a great season. How important is that? How important was that to bring the three of them together, have them embrace the city the way they have and the way they performed, and how big of a role those three in particular played in you guys winning this title?
Yeah, look, it's critical. I mean, we talked about it before those DPs. We had other ones and some people that, you know, they're players that necessarily didn't want to be here, or at least it wasn't their priority. And so when we decided to go get Seba and Josie, Michael was already here. We needed players that were going to complement each other, and those three players in particular really see the game the same way. But most importantly, you nailed it, is that they want to be here. And I know that, you know, when I moved to Toronto, there's some superstar athletes who you say, I'm not sure they're going to pick Toronto in Canada. I got to tell you what, these three guys are in love with this city. They've been around the world already. And when Josie said it's his favorite city, best city in the world after the game, I mean, he means it. I mean, they don't want to go anywhere. There's no reason to. We have the best fans in the world. We have the resources, commitment from the ownership, and have a great stadium and great support. I mean, today's parade, I've never seen anything like it in Major League Soccer. Bay Street was packed. I mean, the bus couldn't even move it at one point. So these three players, and then obviously there's a whole slew that our core group is really strong and committed to this project. You know, Bill at the top has been very good coming in and really just continuing sort of this culture that we're creating. So it's not just the three guys, obviously. When you win a treble, you know, the first time that's ever been done in Major League Soccer, Canadian Championship, Supporters Shield, and MLS Cup, it takes more than three, obviously. And obviously the team was extremely well coached this year with Greg, and masterful job in the finals, going out in a 4-4-2 diamond. That's something that he hadn't played, and he surprised everyone, and they dominated in again in the match. And so proud of those guys.
We were talking about that last night. We were at a bar, and there were a couple of soccer guys kicking around, and just how unprecedented that was for you to play that formation of 4-4-2 when you hadn't done it all year. When that gets up the chain to you, when you hear it, did you freak out? Did you embrace it? I mean, that was a pretty big gamble to throw that formation out when that was not the style you guys had been used to playing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. People, I think, spend a lot of time talking about formations, and what we've learned, at least in our system, it's actually not the style. Our style is more on some principles that we have about when we defend, how we defend, and how we circulate the ball. So whatever space our players take up, it's not the shape on the field. It's really their decision making on the ball that really lends it to the nice sort of style of soccer that we play. So it was really recognition by Greg that the spaces on the field and the angles were going to be better in a diamond. They play in a 4-2-3-1 with two outside wingers who pinch in, and so we were occupying the space that they were going to pinch into, and I think it just worked out really well. It was more offensive because you're essentially taking a center back and moving him up, a new player, into the midfield, and so you have numbers. And if Seattle was going to play the way they played last year, which is to sit back and counter, we were going to need that numerical advantage in the final third. So, again, it was our players, this is how they want to play. The 3-5-2, which can kind of turn into a 5-3-2, was a little more defensive. And we wanted to lay it all out there and leave it all out there on the pitch and sort of make sure that we had a chance to win this game in regulation.
Tim, give me one shot as a soccer analyst. I only had one takeaway from yesterday's game. And I know Altidore gets a lot of credit, Jovinko, but I thought Michael Bradley was unbelievable. Like, he controlled the game. Do I have a shot at getting on the soccer panel as an analyst?
If you recognize that, then
you
I would
saw
say
that too,
minimum.
Right? Tell me you saw that
you,
too.
Look, you got a shot. You know, I'm telling you, you got a chance. Michael Bradley, he played an outstanding game. I thought it was one of the best games he's played. They were giving him too much space, and if on the offensive side, he will pick you apart because he's such a great passer of the ball. But then on defense, his number of interceptions yesterday, his ability to move and manipulate others around him on his team to get the work done that needs to get done defensively is incredible. To me, he was right up there. There's a number of guys who deserve to be MVPs, but Michael certainly is in the conversation. He was outstanding.
Say goodbye to Christian Jack.
Yep, KJ. The O-Dog's taking over.
KJ, oh no, he did our thing. He did our presentation today down at City Hall. I'm not sure he'll have something to say about that for sure.
Yeah. How many beers has that guy had over the last couple of days? Is he involved in all of it too?
Not as much as you would think. I think that there's, you know, we have I think Wheeler has been quite involved. Gareth is heavily sort of entrenched into the team. But you know, everyone within in the team, even our beat writers, I think everyone deserves credit here. And there's so many people who tag along to the team all year that don't get a lot of credit, and our staff, and certainly the media. It deserves all the credit because they cover us more so than any other team in Major League Soccer. They give us a lot of slack, but at the same time, a lot of it's deserved. But now that we're successful, it's nice to see everyone sort of getting credit, at least the players and the coaches.
Well, enjoy the brief off season. The next one's right around
the
corner.
See you in 10 days.
We'll see you in 10 days.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you guys. We'll
see you too.
See you in a few weeks.
Congrats on a great season. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers. There's Tim Bezbachenko, GM of TFC, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. From now until December 23rd, when you purchase any used vehicle, you'll receive a $500 prepaid Visa upon delivery. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.
Old Gareth Wheeler, just heavily entrenched.
Well, Wheels,
is, I think,
he was
the
there last night. He was there last night.
Wheels was the guy who fed me that nugget about the 4-4-2 formation and the fact that Vanny walked in like a week before the game and said, this is what we're doing and we're going to stick to it.
Wow.
And we had some hot TFC talk at the pint last night.
There was a lot of chat.
I sound like garbage today. I wasn't drinking last night. Like, I'm getting tweets from people being like, tell me you woke up in a dumpster this morning because you were partying.
That's what I thought
pint.
As soon as I heard you. I'm like, well, did you do something afterwards,
you know,
that we don't know about?
Is?
No.
You know what I say? You're going to be sick? You're out of here tomorrow. Stay home.
I couldn't miss a day like today.
I know, but it's Steph. It's Steph's fault.
We'll do the Scotty Mac show tomorrow.
It could be Steph.
Because Steph has been sick for the last couple days. She has the bad throat. And
she gave
drags
me a hug and
down.
A kiss.
Yeah,
I could be sick on Friday. You never know.
Planting the seed for a Friday sickness.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's planted.
Well, she... that's funny you mentioned Steph, because I talked to her yesterday, and the first thing she says is, oh, you sound like garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Steph, listen to your own raspy voice right now. You sound like a mess, too. Don't throw that shade at me.
And she was, but then she was still, you know, hugging and kissing everyone.
She didn't have any conversations with anyone because she just hug, kiss, you're amazing, your show's amazing, and I love you.
Yeah, she's a politician.
And she took off.
Kissing babies, shaking hands.
Well, she was at the game last night. She wasn't going
to
hang around with us peasants at the pint.
Yeah.
Wow. She was going to the game.
So. Or in Forest. They just had a time of life.
What'd you call him?
Forrest.
It's Orest.
Who cares?
Oreste.
It's Forrest.
Forrest Gump.
Well, either way, he was...
Foreste Appolito.
He's a good man.
He's a huge TFC fan, too. Oh,
he loves
He'd
it.
He'd be riding high. He's not the biggest Leaf fan, yet he was in the building last night.
Yeah, but actually the Leafs are his, too. So he's quite proud of his team.
Okay.
The Leafs.
He should be. Ray Ferraro coming up. We missed out on Ray earlier. He'll join us at some point in the 6 p.m. hour. Mow Your Lawn Monday. Lots of potential suitors walking into the bars throughout North America and mowing lawns on a Sunday night / early Monday morning. We'll get to that next. All right, Ray had to call an audible at the line. I hope it has nothing to do with his house in Vancouver.
Yeah, if it does, then...
Or the UPS driver.
That tore down a cable line and then looked at Ray and said...
Not my problem.
Not my problem. I'm out of here, man.
See you later.
So Ray's going to join us in about 15 minutes. The Leafs take both over the weekend. They're 20-10-1, but Matthews injured. And this is the thing about the Leafs not giving out any information. I think it can go both ways. It can rattle cages because people are curious. They want to know what's going on with the Golden Boy. But it also, in a way, and this is where I kind of understand why they do it,
right?
It alleviates some of the story, if you will, because people are like, I don't know what it is.
Right.
So in other words, if they came out and said he's got a concussion, it would be bedlam in Toronto right now.
Mm-hmm.
People would be going nuts. Maybe he's done for a week. Maybe he's done for a month. Maybe this is a Crosby situation. What's up with him? But if you don't know, you can stop yourself from freaking out.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the reverse, the other side of it.
It is, because if he had a concussion, you'd be watching every shift even more closely, every physical contact. And Matthews isn't a physical player. Like, he doesn't, like, he can win loose puck battles and use his size, but he's not a guy who crushes people. And hits, that's just not his game. He's good at poking the puck and pushing off and spinning It's about puck control for him, but he's not a guy who's going to run somebody through the boards. But we have seen a couple times where he's been close or been hit after a player. I think I pointed to Luke Shen was one of them.
He's starting to swing his stick a little bit more.
Yeah.
After getting hit.
Yeah.
Like so, like Jordy Benn cross-checked him
yep.
in that Habs game back, a couple yep. weeks ago, and he hacked at him. He missed him. But
good for him. You have to push back a little bit because he's going to be a target his whole career. Great players get targeted.
He's got to beat the hell out of somebody sooner or later just to send a message. You're not doing that.
That was the old school way of doing it. You had to fight your first game to prove you'd fight. I don't think he's ever going to fight.
Well, I don't think
it's an interesting Jerry's.
Just do it once. Just do it once and say, you're not doing that.
I think he'll fight, but he'll get dragged into it. Like it'll be.
No, I think he'll lose his mind. Somebody just abusing him, like you say.
He
takes
better,
abuse.
Better pick the right door, though, because if you're not a fighter.
And you pick a Rob DeMaio type of, like a Stevie Thomas.
That's what
by
I'm
accident.
Saying. Like, accident. Like,
Matt
like Jordy,
Calvert.
Jordy Benn can fight.
Like, well, go on my Instagram and watch me fight Sheldon Surrey.
Yeah, but Sheldon Surrey's 6'4", 230. Like, that.
Well, my other pick was Hal Gill.
Yeah, that guy's like 6'8". But I'm saying like
just an awful draw, both of
just
them.
A bad
remember Kadri
draw.
Like was jousting with Matt Calvert and Calvert like
got him.
Well, Calvert, I think was a sneaky tough. I don't think Kadri realized that Calvert was willing to drop the gloves, and then once they did, it just you got to be careful who you're jousting with.
You absolutely do. Are you guys ready for Mow Your Lawn Monday?
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can we call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Mow Your Lawn Monday brought to you by our friends down at the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town down on Carlton. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to our good friends Regan and Jackie. Best pub food in the city, bar none.
I think Altidore could go into a bar and say, get out of my way and give me your girl and watch out.
I think you would walk into the Irv Pub and Regan would shut it down.
Yeah,
just Altidore in there.
No, throw every male in the bar out.
You're all out. O-Dog beef dips for everybody.
Around the horn.
Yes.
A Hayes lasagna sandwich.
Mm-hmm. And what's
and
yours, noodles?
Noodles,
it's
mac
like
and cheese.
Mac and cheese with pulled pork on it.
I got to get down there. All of those sound spectacular.
I love Regan.
Yeah, Regan. Who are you?
You go ahead.
I was going to go, but see, I went
nice
with McElhinney.
Nice preparation. You put me on the spot. I never
no,
go second.
I went with the Great Grinder at McElhinney, but I want to stay Leaf orientated. So okay. I was going to go Tyler Bozak.
He had a very good weekend.
Yeah,
big Saturday
weekend.
Night. All right, who am I kidding? Manhattan is about to have a storm hit it. A storm is coming in Manhattan, and it's Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking dude. He hits the long ball.
He's jacked.
He's got $300 million in the bank, and now he's a pinstripe. And that team's already the king of that city for the most part. It's a Yankees town. They're coming off a great year. He's the NL MVP. There's a chance they're just going to keep improving. And now he's a part of this team.
Yeah, it's pretty
Stanton cool. might be the new Jeter. Might be the new A-Rod. I mean, those are lofty expectations. If you want to chase Jeter in that town, on the field and off. But Stanton might have the best chance of doing it.
And you know they're going to upgrade again soon, either Bryce Harper or Machado. Like they're
that's what people
involved.
Are throwing out. Like
they're involved in being, you want to talk about a super team in baseball, they're going probably for it.
How about Donaldson next year if he walks from the Jays?
Yeah,
that's your third baseman. That would suck if you're a Blue Jay fan.
Yeah.
All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. We'll get his take on the Leafs weekend, get his take on the Carlson rumors about him potentially being available. Back into the MLS Cup, TFC, Raps, crazy NFL weekend. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.